before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James.
This is the Quality News Network. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair arrived in Jerusalem today, his first visit as an envoy to the Middle East. His mission is to kick-start peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians. In Afghanistan, authorities are negotiating for the return of 23 South Koreans and one German taken hostage last week by the Taliban. The militants demand freedom for Taliban prisoners. They also insist German and South Korean troops pull out of the country. In southern Afghanistan, U.S.-led troops announced today they've killed more than two dozen insurgents. Yesterday, Afghan troops reported killing 14 Taliban. In unrelated combat, one NATO soldier was killed Sunday. Over the weekend, Iraqi and U.S. troops conducted raids throughout the country, arresting 22 suspected terrorists. Another dozen suspects were captured today. In Baghdad, a U.S. soldier was killed Saturday by a roadside bomb. Four car bombs in Baghdad today killed at least 16 people, wounding another 40. Texans are cleaning up after a weekend of heavy rain caused flooding in south and central areas of the state. There were no serious injuries, but property damage is listed in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Wildfires continue to scorch western states. Yesterday, two fires along the Nevada border joined together and raced into Idaho, threatening the homes of some 7,500 residents as well as an Air Force training range. In New Haven, Connecticut, illegal immigrants tomorrow will begin receiving ID cards, permitting them to make use of city programs and open bank accounts. It is the first law of its kind in the U.S. The Washington Post reports the Federal Agriculture Department distributed more than $1 billion in subsidies to deceased farmers over a seven-year period. Also, federal investigators say only 40% of subsidy cases were monitored between 1999 and 2005. Tonight, CNN and website YouTube host the first-of-its-kind presidential debate. The debate begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Funeral services were held this weekend for Tammy Faye Baker Messner, who died of cancer Friday at age 65. Tammy Faye helped her husband found a multimillion-dollar TV ministry, which ultimately collapsed in scandal. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. I just wonder why you think it's important to bank in a local bank.
Because it's here in our community, in our area, and we tend to find that they have the best service for us. They are always there when we need them.
Do you like the idea that it's a local bank with big bank services and benefits?
You get all the benefits of the big banks, but you walk in, people know who you are.
Yeah.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Absolutely. They have the resources, but, of course, the personal touch of a local bank.
I am here once a week, yes.
Taking money out.
Taking money out. I'm putting it in and taking it out.
So you're doing a lot of banking in here.
I carry it in wheelbarrow.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Bumblebee Seafoods has recalled more than 80 brands of canned chili, beef stew, and corned beef hash following reports of botulism. Also taken off shelves was Natural Balance dog food. NASA scientists say sun-blocking dust storms on Mars are threatening to disable the rovers exploring the planet. The vehicles use solar panels for power. A month's worth of storms has blocked 99% of the Mars sunlight. Starting tomorrow, U.S. workers making minimum wage will see their paychecks rise 70 cents an hour. The Labor Department estimates about 1.7 American employees made the minimum wage or less last year. Hewlett-Packard announced it will acquire data center manager Opsware for about $1.6 billion. Opsware's founder also developed Netscape and the world's first internet browser.
Citing regulatory problems, Whole Foods has extended its $565 million takeover bid for Wild Oats Markets until mid-August. The FTC is currently blocking the acquisition, saying the deal would substantially decrease competition in the niche market. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.48 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 51 points, the Nasdaq up 9, the S&P 500 is flat. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, time to get the hell up. It's Cup of Joe Radio Show here. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 o'clock here in Chicago. Wake the hell up. What the hell are you still doing in bed? What's wrong with you? Why can't you be more like your brother? Get up, get up, get up. Move it, move it. It's Monday. Time for a brand new work week. Time for another week of enslavement to your corporate masters. Oh, beautiful day here in Chicago. Beautiful, beautiful day. It was a beautiful weekend. I didn't do a whole lot this weekend. I was planning on doing a lot more than I wanted to. But, you know, I find myself not really wanting to go out and do more stuff when I'm alone. When I was with Kathy, I always wanted to get out and do something. But going places alone is real depressing. And my roommate turned me on to this event that was going on Sunday in memory of, I don't want to say in honor of because, you know, he was a real scumbag, but, you know, in memory of John Dillinger, the famous Chicago who was shot here in Chicago, they were going to have a procession from the Red Lion restaurant, Red Lion Place, English pub type restaurant, to where he was shot. And I was going to go attend, but my roommate was like, I'm just being lazy today, dude, so I don't want to do it. And he didn't want to do it, I didn't want to do it. So, you know, I'm just kind of relaxing from the weekend there, and I didn't get out as much as I like. But we did get to go out, and we get to walk up Devon Avenue, which is a really, really nice section of Chicago. I don't care what anybody says. A lot of Indians here, a lot of Pakistanis here, and so on and so forth. I want to remind everybody that I am, I guess, in the words of Mr. Bush, posing a significant risk of threatening the stability of Iraq by simply saying that we need to get the hell out of there. But that's not going to happen so long as Mr. Bush is in office. And, you know, as I said in my blog, in a recent blog post, Mr. Bush is not Nixon. He's not going to resign. He's not going to give up his delusions of adequacy. And he's going to continue to push the idea of unitary executive, that is Caesar, or emperor. And by the way, Caesar was a term that was so prevalent that it was used up until a century or so ago. Tsar was a term for Caesar, and so was the German Kaiser. So, and in the meantime, you know, we have more recalls of food for botulism. Just another result of the conservative politics. People are calling it now E. coli conservatism, because basically what it is the conservatives don't want to fund government programs that really do some good, like, you know, food inspection and building highways. I call it sinkhole stuff because it leads to destruction of our infrastructure as well. I mean, Republicans and a bunch of libertarians seem to think that once we reach a certain level of technology, then we can drop a lot of stuff that we dropped before, you know, and just not worry about it. Things like, you know, all good education and you know, government sponsor, you know, government regulation of business, you know, all that stuff. All that stuff can just go away. Because, you know, we've got the technology now. So it really doesn't make a difference, right? But then this big steam pipe exploded in New York, killing somebody. and leaving a huge big sink. Well, basically a lot of that pipe was apparently put there in 1924, and maybe if the city, would spend a little money on that proper infrastructure instead of giving all these tax subsidies to big companies for the purpose of not firing people, which of course they wind up firing them anyway, and nobody does anything to them about it. Then maybe that stuff would get fixed. But when you live in a conservative society whose only concern is, separating you from your money, basically, then these sort of things are just going to happen. So, the people in George Castleberry's is a brand that I'm familiar with. They got recalled, and there was mentioned on Quality News Network. Another one. Recalling stuff for botulism. We have spinach last year. I was recalling there was a time when the Republicans, this is when Bob Dole was in office, and he was the Senate Minority Leader, and they were pushing for to get rid of health and safety standards or to release them because, it's such a strain on companies to have to keep inspecting this food. It's just such a strain. Oh, we can't do it. It costs money. And they were about to pass this bill or getting close to it when all of a sudden a whole bunch of got botulism at a Jack in the Box in Chicago, in California. Excuse me. Well, gee, what a surprise. Unhealthy food. But what do they care? Because, in the big conservative equation, in the big money is everything equation, what is the value of a human life? Not very much. Unless, of course, that's a person who can make you a lot of money. Then the value of a human life and the amount of justice they get changes. And, that's not just a matter of direct money, it's a matter of blackmail, too. Why do you think Scooter Libby was pardoned? Or why do you think Saddam Hussein was killed and Manuel Noriega was thrown in prison? Because they know too much. Because they threaten because with their actions and their words, they can threaten the well-being. And not by anything they've done, necessarily, but just because they were foolish enough to be involved enough with some of these people and learn some of the secrets that could bring them down. And because of conservatives and conservative ideology, and not just in this country, but all across the world is a much more dangerous place. Because it's always been the case. There's always been a few people who always want more than they deserve. It's what Teddy Roosevelt described, man. Progress is the constant struggle between those who possess more than they've earned and those who've earned more than they possess. And the only defense we have against it is to stand up to them en masse and to pay attention to citizens, and more than just pay attention. And by paying attention, I don't mean listen to any demagogue saying, yeah, the Mexicans are your problem. We just got to get them Mexicans. If you don't get and before that it was the communists. Ah, the communists. Well, of course, the Mexicans are for the domestic jobs, of course. But it's the terrorists now. We gotta watch out for the terrorists. The terrorists are coming with a nuclear bomb. We gotta watch what we do and do what we can and have to do. Get the terrorists! I tell you, terrorists. And people say, oh my God, terrorists! Here, have some money, have some power. Keep me safe, please. Keep me safe because those terrorists are dangerous. We can't have those terrorists coming in here and raping our women and bombing our buildings. It's not right. That's not right. So I'll give you everything. Here's some money. Story of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Story of the world. Story of human civilization. As nations grow more wealthy and more powerful, it attracts the very wrong type of people. It attracts the very people it should be repelling. Or should be fighting away, because all of the power's there. And all the money's there. The real crooks understand you don't run from the cops. The real crooks understand you become the cops. And what did I hear about? I was reading something somewhere, online somewhere. I don't know what it is. But it was talking about how, is it General Petraeus or one of the generals out there? They're actually guarded by private security, not by the U.S. military. These are our own generals. And actually, private security forces outnumber U.S. soldiers there. And don't forget, it was private security forces that were the cause of what happened in the city of Fallujah. You remember Fallujah? I'm sure I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. Because you had a bunch of mercs right in there, waving their guns, throwing their weight around, and the people had enough, and they killed them, and hung their bodies from a bridge. And in retaliation for that, we leveled the whole town. Which is, of course, a war crime. That town still isn't back to what anywhere near what it was, and it won't be for many, many years. But what is there is once more a haven for terrorists. Not once more, but now a haven for terrorists. And, you know, I was reading somewhere that, you know, the reason Al-Qaeda has come back is because of a treaty they signed, that Pakistan signed, and the areas that they're staying in have been kept safe and unobtrusive, and the person who helped create that treaty was George W. Bush. And I really believe that they want Al-Qaeda to be around because, you know, then they can say, well, Al-Qaeda's still out there, and we're the only ones who could fight them, even though they haven't really done a damn thing to them to begin with. And so people say, oh, yeah, 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 old terrorist, here's my money, I don't need no rights, Conservatives took over in France, and what's the almost the first words out of the new conservative president in France's mouth? The French think too much. That's your problem, you think too much. Yeah, well, you know, they obviously weren't thinking enough if they elected your ass, that's what I'm saying. So maybe that's their problem. Maybe their problem is that they're not thinking enough by electing someone like you. Oh, it's late. Let me do this. Let's take our little break here. Let's go on to our PSAs and our commercials, and we'll be back. If you want to give me a call and talk to me about this issue, you can call at 1-304-658-5453. 304-658-5453 or the toll-free number 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.ORG.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
And we're back here in the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker, no, anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, numbers to call in if you want to call in, talk to me. 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. The toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. Use those free minutes if you have it. Use the 304 number if you possibly can. But the toll-free number is there for you if you need it. Because, you know, we don't want to put an unnecessary burden on you. But, you know, there's really, as I said before, there's really no such thing as long distance anymore from a technological point of view. They're charging you for long distance. They're ripping you off. Because with new especially when you're talking about cell phones. Because with satellite technology, you're making a call, you know, from say, my house, my living bedroom, okay? That phone call is bouncing to a satellite, then bouncing back to the living room. So it's not going, you know, it's not a direct connection like that. It goes boing, boing. And that boing, boing is the same whether you're talking to from, you know, one room to the next or from one nation to the next or from one side of the world to the next. It doesn't make a difference. Cost is the same. So anybody that's charging you long distance is, of course, ripping you off. Naturally. But then again, as I've said before, I think pretty much everything is a scam nowadays. I think the world has pretty much been a scam from day one. But I want to talk about something a little different here, going along the same lines, or maybe not, I don't know. We had an incident over the weekend that really kind of disturbed me a bit. Now, we had, you know, there were people who were living upstairs. I live in what in Chicago is called the three flat. Three stories, and there's a garden apartment, but we live in the second floor, in the middle floor, between three floors. Not counting the garden apartment, which is on the basement, although it's really ground level. First floor is a flight up, right? But we had some people living upstairs, and we had some people living downstairs who were essentially what I like to call trash. People who have no respect for their environment, people who have no respect for themselves. Basically, they, you know, look, I am not the classiest person in the world, but at least I have, you know, and then I keep my room a little cluttered. There's clothes on the floor and stuff like that, but I keep my place relatively clean so I can eat there, you know, and I like a little relative order in the house as much as, you know, you can possibly get, because that's just the way I am. And while I don't have as much respect for myself as maybe I should, I do have a lot more respect than these people did. And these people lived like dirt. They were just not pleasant people, and they were noisy, and they were messy, and they left behind a huge mess when they finally did move out. And they moved out because the lease was up, basically, in both cases. Well, the other one was evicted, I think, finally. But at any rate, over the weekend I was hearing some banging and stuff going on upstairs, because you can very clearly hear somebody walking around and stuff upstairs, and I wasn't sure what was going on, so I went up to investigate. But every time I went up there, it got, you know, quiet again. And I was thinking to myself, should I call a cop? And then I ran in my room and I said, what should I do? And he thought, well, it's probably, you know, our landlord. And I thought, well, if it was the landlord, wouldn't he have answered when I knocked on the door or said hello coming in? So in hindsight, I should have called the cop. And then I find out yesterday that, I guess I was on Saturday night sometime, somebody came into the floor below us and vandalized it, spray painted all over the walls, dropped some paint or epoxy on the floor, made some knife slashes, I guess, into the walls. And, you know, just going to cost a bunch, and it cost the landlord even more because, you know, he was showing that apartment to people, and now he can't do that until that gets fixed. So he is furious. And we're fairly certain. We can't prove anything, obviously, in a court of law. We're fairly certain that it was done by either the people who moved out from upstairs or the one below us. But we can't prove anything, so it would be very, very difficult to bring this to trial. But it really just goes to show how dangerous the world is. And you know something? And I feel sorry for those people. People will say, well, you should be angry with them. They're hateful people, blah, blah, blah. No, I feel sorry for them because they're victims of poverty. They're victims of an insane world that basically, you know, has no place for them except as cheap labor or as just people to be used and thrown away. And you can say, yes, it's their fault for doing these criminal activities. And whoever did it, I'm not justifying it or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, when you build a society that makes people want to do that, it makes you want to take a look back. And you have to do something to start preventing this stuff. You can't just take a hard-ass attitude towards it and not do anything else. You have to have carrot and a stick. Okay? Now, if they catch these people, I hope they're, you know, imprisoned and whatnot, and that's fine. But I also think we should try to build a world where these sort of things don't happen. Poverty drives people insane. It's driven me nuts. Not literally, but it is a cause of huge stress in my life. Just not being able to pay the rent or just breaking even every week or seeing a paycheck after 2 weeks that's gone in 10 seconds. That puts a huge amount of stress on people. And I know I'm not speaking alone. I know there are millions of you out there listening who have the same experience as I do. Just struggling to get by, paycheck after paycheck. And I even think of people who make a lot of money. People, you know, who make a decent money, maybe not the type of money that, you know, the Bushes and the Cheneys make, but, you know, people who make in the six figures a year. And they go out and they start spending more, and all of a sudden they become slaves to that salary. It's a chain. I think that's a huge thing about what's happened with the Washington punditocracy. They make so much money that they're completely disaffected by anything. And they know that but they also spend a lot. So in order to maintain their lifestyle, they have to continue to earn that kind of money. And so their jobs are predicated on them doing what they're told, basically. And some bosses push that a lot more than others. We know that Jack Welch was not happy with the way the news coverage was and tried to openly interfere himself into the 2000 election coverage in favor of his man, George W. Bush. And, you know, and I've said this before, every media company in this country, whether you're talking about newspapers, television, or whatnot, that's owned by a grand total of 5 corporations, and they control everything. Now, what does this have to do with somebody vandalizing the house beneath us? Well, that's an end result of stuff like that. It's not an aberration. It happens all the time. People do crazy things. Now, maybe some people, all the liberalism in the world, all the help that they're going to be given is not going to help them. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. But the point is, if we work to build a society where this stress just doesn't exist, where you're not basically, as George Carlin likes to point out, and he's a lot more cynical than I am, just a bunch of mindless sheep being educated to, you know, basically be a cheap labor force. If we can build a society that's not that, then maybe we'll have something better. Who knows? We certainly know that rulers of a country do not want intelligent, well-informed citizens, because intelligent, well-informed citizens might, you know, make it much more difficult for them to do their jobs. And in some cases they have a point, because just because someone's well-informed doesn't necessarily mean they know what the hell they're talking about. But we need a new paradigm, completely new. Because when we had the Great Depression and we had the New Deal to deal with it, we did a good job for the most part, for most people. So long as you were the right color. Hey, it's the bottom of the hour. We got Wins News coming up. Let's do that, and I'll try not to be so depressing. If you want to give me a call in 1-304-658-5453, 1-877-443-2366. I understand we've got a caller on hold. We'll get to them when we get back. This is the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Ohio has become the most recent state that will allow the organizing of home health care workers. Last week, Governor Ted Strickland passed an executive order that allowed health care workers who work in-home to seek union representation. Specifically, it is the goal of the Service Employees International Union to organize those workers and potentially gaining a membership increase in Ohio of 25%. It's David versus Goliath as a small group of painters union workers in Boston take on Clear Channel. Doug Cunningham is covering the story.
25 workers from Boston's International Union of Painters and Allied Trades Local 391 are in the fourth month of a strike against Clear Channel outdoor advertising. The strike included direct action in late June when 50 picketers stopped scabs from sneaking in to change a mass transit billboard. John Laughlin, spokesperson for the Painters Union in Boston, says Clear Channel wants to cut the pay and benefits of these workers.
We're facing a David versus Goliath situation, and these 25 families don't even have a slingshot. Clear Channel is Walmart without the smiley face.
The strikers today are taking their fight to Bain Capital, a private equity group in Boston poised to buy Clear Channel outdoor advertising.
A delegation of strikers, as well as the president of the Massachusetts AFL-CIO, president of the Boston Labor Council, and some elected officials, are going to be going to Bain Capital's national headquarters in Boston to present a letter and to demand a meeting to ask them, as the new owners, to bring the workers back to work under the old contract and sit down and negotiate a new contract.
Will a U.S. president ever stand side by side with workers and walk the picket lines? If elected, Barack Obama claims he will do just that. The Illinois senator and presidential hopeful said at an Iowa convention for the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees that Washington, D.C. has embraced the most anti-union and anti-worker culture in generations. Doctors in New Zealand are creeping toward their first-ever nationwide strike. Negotiations between doctors and the National Health Board have run aground. Doctors are demanding a 6-7% pay increase in an attempt to curtail a staffing crisis in that country. According to the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, the organization representing the doctors, senior doctors have been leaving the island country due to a lack of competitive pay and conditions in New Zealand. Here is today's economic report. What type of ripple effects does the slowing housing market have on the rest of the economy? A recent Reuters article took a hard look at that impact, suggesting it stretches from air conditioners to earth movers. Housing market employment accounts for 10% of the economy, and stores such as Home Depot have also watched sales decline as building declines. Building permits in June fell to the lowest rate in 10 years, and the existing homes market remains stymied. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
All right, we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I'm going to go crazy on you. And let's go a little crazy with Michelle from California calling in. Hi, Michelle, how you doing?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, you know, waking up. Luckily, I heard your voice, and I'm like, okay, I'll have another Cup of Joe.
There you go.
Anyway, now I was calling in because you're talking what I'm thinking just about how people react to their environment and, you know, some of the, you know, what you were talking about with the people living upstairs and then the vandalism that happened below you. And you know, in my younger years, I sure know what it's, or experienced the struggle financially. Now it's not so much as financial of a struggle as it is worrying about kids, you know. You establish yourself, and sometimes even after you establish yourself, that can all be taken away. In fact, I was explaining to my 13-year-old daughter, who was talking to me about, you know, she was worried about the environment and her future, and maybe she has too much information via mom. But, you know, and I told her, I said, well, you know, the one thing, there's nothing guaranteed in life, you know, but the one thing that we can guarantee is ourselves and what we do with what we have and how we stand up for one another and stick together. And, you know, it is hard not to have anger at those people that vandalize and don't have respect for other people's property. And then again, it's hard, you know, not to feel some compassion for their anger and their frustration, because obviously they can't afford to live there. They haven't, you know, I'm sure there's some kind of past history, if we looked into it, that they really didn't get the support they needed for their education and future. And then again, even though you get that support, doesn't mean you get a job, you know, nowadays. And
right.
You know, listening to...
I get people telling me all the time, how come you don't have a high-paying job? You know, you sound great, you talk intelligently, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I say, well, tell it to the people who are doing the hiring.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, it used to be a bachelor's degree was worth a lot and could get you a lot. Now it's, you know, a doctorate and PhD, whatever.
And even then, you're still not safe.
Yeah, even there, right, exactly, because of the outsourcing, it was...
Well, look, I look at my sister, and I love my sister dearly, and she makes a decent salary. She's an editor for Newsday newspaper.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that's a pretty good gig there, you know. And her husband is an air traffic controller, but and you know, that's a pretty good gig. But and she makes pretty good money, and you know, that's great and it's wonderful. But what I'm worried about is the newspaper industry is going down the tubes,
right,
slowly but surely.
Right.
And she could lose her job, and maybe she'll find another job, but maybe one that doesn't pay as much, and then she could be in a lot of trouble because she's invested heavily in a lot of stuff.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's kind of what I was saying with my daughter, you know. Yes, we are able to pay our bills, and you're able to, you know, do things that, you know, because of where, you know, the position we're in financially, you can do them. But there could be a day that we could lose everything. And I've been there, you know. I've, as a child or a young teenager, you know, I in the 80s, my mom dealt with a divorce and was a single mom, and again, her second marriage. And we were struggling in Missouri. I mean, you know, had to get food stamps. I'll never forget one winter we couldn't afford the propane, so my mom humbled herself and went to the church, and then their requirement was that she had to stand in front of the congregation and thank them. That was quite humiliating. But
they always do that to you, don't they?
Yeah.
They want to make it clear.
Yeah, and of course we never shopped with food stamps in the town we lived in, you know, because God.
So they look at you funny?
We're poor people, you know.
Yeah.
We put ourselves there, damn it. Those damn poor people, I wish they'd just die or go away, you know.
Well, you know, that scumbag Neil Bortz on the radio in Atlanta says what they ought to do is they ought to have sirens go off whenever somebody buys something with food stamps in the
so
everybody
yeah.
can see. We ought to have sirens go off every time he leaves his... Every time he leaves his encampment, you know, his home, which I'm sure is very well protected.
Yeah, exactly. And then, meanwhile, they give you food stamps, and all you can buy with them is food. But you have to go to the cheapest places, so the food quality is, you know, it's iffy. So you're wondering if the meat product that you're going to buy is got some kind of germ in it or botulism, you know.
Well, I'll disagree with you on that, because when I was living in Atlanta, even up in Alpharetta, we would use food stamps at a local Kroger, and that was a nice supermarket. So,
oh yeah,
I understand what you're saying, though.
If you have a big family, you know, it's like you had to make them stretch, so you went to the outlets and did what you can. But yeah, it's surprising the feelings we get. But what it comes down to is what you're saying is, if we change, I don't know if you look on crooksandliars.com, but they have...
I get clips from there all the time. They're
yeah, okay.
There.
Well, they had the Family Guy cartoon, you know, that they had posted. And it was so funny because it was, like, futuristic, and Gore was president, and, you know, and the dog's talking about how, you know, everybody's using vegetable oil cars, and they have the Jetsons on there, and there's no impoverishment because everybody's, they've got programs for everybody to be working. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but, and at the end, you know, I guess the Family Guy, he wants the death to come back because he needs to go back in time, and the death comes back and he says, well, I've been so busy, you know, I had Dick Cheney and Karl Rove and Scalia, you know, Scalia got shot. Like, oh.
I'm surprised that Seth MacFarlane hasn't been incarcerated in Gitmo at this point.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, exactly. It was just hilarious. But, yeah, I mean,
you know,
go ahead.
I'm saying you were talking about that. I was just watching a clip of Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, on the Jon Stewart Show, The Daily Show.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying that Fox News forbid them from doing the phony Fox scrawl on their show because they would confuse Fox viewers, making them think it was actual news.
To leave it to the Daily Show. You know, you
well, that's coming out of Groening, and he was thinking, because they did that once, and they had like a little Fox scroll that says Dick Cheney, great dancer. You know,
boy, don't
stuff
need
like
a
that.
Little bit of brevity. You guys give me some brevity in my life, and it's unbelievable that we're facing what we are. And when you were talking about economics, I saw how, you know, the inflation on food is hitting people's pockets, and they were giving this report, and they were saying it was because of the demands from the countries like China and those that are having their industrial revolutions. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they did not just say that. They didn't just say that it's because there's other countries demanding produce. I mean, like, total denial, I guess. But
they're off in their own little fantasy land, you know. And they have these things that on surface seem like they're right, but they're really not. It's like, you know, the knee jerk reaction to the vandals would be kill them all, get them, you know, put them in jail, you know,
right.
Whatever. And my reaction is, you know, punish them for their crimes, but damn it, let's do something so that people won't feel the need to do that. I mean, look, you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I live in tremendous poverty.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I mean, I don't have any furniture. I sleep on an air mattress. I've got my desk is basically three cardboard boxes and a desk that I trash picked that's held up on the other end by the windowsill. Okay? It's a nice place, sure, but I am working, but it's really not enough to pay. And I look at this and I think, you know something? I still eat. I don't live in a war zone, so I'm still better than probably 3 billion people on this planet. But that's sickening, because the way I live is really not very good.
No, yeah.
You know, it could be a lot better.
I know what you're talking about, and you know, it's a way to get through it. It's a way to get yourself through it mentally.
Well, it's one thing to do that, Michelle, when you're 20, 25 years old and just starting out. It's another thing to do this when you're 45. And a big reason I'm in this, and it's because of a lot of bad decisions I made, and I admit that, getting out of the calibration industry when I did, when it could have, you know, paid a lot more money. Of course, it was a boring job. But the big thing was when I made the decision to bring my wife and her kids and take care of them, and that was a huge financial drain on me. And then to have to take a lot of time off work, we're talking about a year, just because she was so sick and she spent the last, you know, 3 months of her life in the hospital. I mean, that was a huge sacrifice that I made for her sake.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't regret it. I'm not saying I regret it, and I'm not saying that you know, I'm not saying that to give people sympathy. But what I'm saying is, you know, if there's a big reason that I'm in the position the way I'm at right now, it's because I did that.
Right.
And I got very little help, you know, while that went on.
Well, and you know what, Joe? I mean, see, what you're talking about, and I'm not trying to belittle what you had to deal with, but what you're talking about is what many Americans deal with.
Right.
And we don't have a government that is sympathetic to it, nor do we have corporations that see the responsibility that they should have towards these people that have given their time, their life, and, you know, they could care less. But the fact,
well, of course,
is,
they can't.
The fact is if they don't have the bodies to do it, do the work, if they don't have the people that can afford what they produce, then where are they going to be? I mean,
if you bring everybody down
to this level of employment that the only the higher up seem to benefit by, who the hell do they think is going to be able to? Do they think that 1, 2, maybe 20% of the population is going to be able to sustain their product line and the demand on it? I mean,
two things along those lines, Michelle. Franklin Roosevelt, you know, who was not a poor person by any stretch of the imagination, but whom I admire and respect. He said that not only do we know that this kind of concentration of wealth is bad morals, but it's also bad economics, which is what you're talking about.
Right.
And you know, even Henry Ford, that fascist, and he was a fascist. He supported the Nazi Party before we went to war. He did. He was a financial supporter of the Nazi regime before we went to war with them.
Right.
But even he understood the premise that people have to be able to, you know, buy the stuff that they're making. Otherwise, they're not going to last very long in business, are they? So
right.
He paid his workers a lot more than a lot of other places did.
Well, I have to tell you, this is bragging on myself a little bit, but about 3 years ago, I was trying to explain to my husband that they want the Gilded Age. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, back when the corporations, you know, just think about the big train, you know what I'm saying. When
right.
The
train monopolies.
Right. All that concentrated money and ownership, what it did for them, they want to have an established, wealthy society like the Europeans. Because whenever the wealthy would go to Europe, they would be laughed at, okay? And if you look historically, there's writings on it, but they want to have an elitist community that is respected throughout the world, you know?
Well, they want to have a society that protects them at everyone
exactly.
else's expense.
And in fact, they want to be wealthier than the rest of the world elitist. You know, they want to be in control. I'm talking their mindset. These
right.
people are so sick and have no contact and no understanding with what it is to live, you know, and to strive to live and work to live. They have no concept of it. George Bush has
in their minds they feel like they have done theirs and all that. And so we work hard. How come you don't work hard? But of course, what they're really doing is stealing.
Right. Well, that's the people in the upper 30%. But that 1%, Joe, they have no idea. They are so separated that they are pathological. You know what I'm saying? They're psychologically messed up.
What did George Bush recently talking about health? He said, well, you know, people should get out and exercise more. You know? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, if they're like them, they'll hurt themselves. Or like him.
Good. Well, you know, he's the only guy I've ever seen to fall off a Segway machine, for crying out loud. But then again, the guy falls off a couch eating a pretzel, for, you know?
He chokes on him.
He chokes on a pretzel. You know, I still think that black guy was given it to him by Laura Bush because maybe he's fooling around with Condi Rice.
Oh, yeah, or you know, he had to roll over, and or in his sleep he was saying, Carl, Carl. All right, so well, I'll let you go. You got 2 minutes left of this hour, so.
All right.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
And you take care of yourself. I'll be sending you good vibes.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Carol.
Bye-bye. Okay. This is Michelle from California. Always nice to have a good conversation. Of course, that's what we're all about here on the Head On Radio Network, is conversation radio. And she's absolutely right. And you know, really, it's the type of behavior that I just expect from Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney, and all them, because that's the way they are. You know, and that's I don't want to say it's understandable, but you know, you come to accept that because they're criminal SOBs, and that's their mindset, and that's really all you can expect from them, from their ilk, from their class of people. What really angers me is when members of the news media, the people who are supposed to be looking out for this stuff, when they fall in with them. And that's been a big part of the problem. It hasn't been the whole problem, because the responsibility is still on our shoulders for not seeing through it enough. But they're supposed to be the ones that give us the information that we need to make an informed decision. And they're not doing that. This administration and the Republican leadership have gotten away with unbelievable crimes. And now we have this unitary executive theory. We've got a vice president who says his branch is a fourth branch of the government. We've got a president who's sitting there saying, "Well, the Justice Department is not an independent division. It runs through the executive. Therefore, we control it, and we're going to tell them not to enforce stuff if we're found in contempt." And it's just unbelievable. That's not just overreaching. That's, you know. And here you have the president saying all the Congress has to do is give me money for my war, basically. Are you kidding me? But it's not so much that he says such stuff as that the press just says, well, you know, that's so bad, so bad. He was bold with the president. God Almighty! Those are the, you know, and just as what Michelle was talking about. You know, look, the people who write these stories are people who make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, if not a lot more. And especially the people, you know, you're talking about on television, like Chris Matthews and Tim Russert and people like that. These are people who make in the seven figures a year. Okay. They have, and they have the nerve to call themselves voice of the people or the working class person. They have no clue. They have absolutely no clue. If they want a clue, come down here and live my life the way I have to live it. And don't just live it for a month or 2 months or a year. Live it without thinking that you're going to ever get out of it. That's where the real problem lies. Not so much in the poverty itself, although poverty is never good, but in the belief that you will never rise above that. In the belief that everything is stacked against you. That's enough to drive somebody insane. And we talked about the pretzel incident. If that happened to a Democratic president, there'd be no end of ridiculing of the guy. They've got people criticizing John Edwards because he dares to talk about populist issues when he's rich. Gee, yeah, that never happens. Franklin Roosevelt, John Kennedy. People who were born into great wealth, with a sense of who did have a sense of privilege and elitism about them, no denying it. But they understood that they have a responsibility, especially if they want to be public servants. That they are president of all the United States, not just the group that put you in power. Mr. Bush and his people don't understand that, and they don't want to understand that. And Bush even said that during the 2000 campaign. I'll never forget that. He was on Oprah Winfrey's show, and she was, you know, far too nice to him. Maybe she was trying to bend over backwards to show that the liberal media isn't the liberal media, blah, 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 it's a bunch of crap. But You know, Bush said, well, you know, I'll be happy to, you know, I'll be very good to the 51% of the people who put me in office. Well, wait a minute, aren't you president of the entire United States? You're not president of the 51% of the people who voted for you in office. And, of course, they only got in through cheating, which, of course, is the only way conservatives can do things. And conservatives sit there and tell you, wow, they're taking my tax money. Or there's a bad, bad, bad. And meanwhile, they get stuck into a sinkhole. And, by the way, there are record numbers of sinkholes in this country now because no one's paying attention to infrastructure. And, you know, conservative biology kind of works the same way like a sinkhole. Everything looks nice and calm on the outside, but underneath, on the foundation, stuff is digging away, digging away, digging away, and until all of a sudden, it sinks in. And you get a big hole in the ground. And that's what's happening in this country. The Republicans are digging away at the foundations of our society. And, of course, the greatest foundation, the foundation of any society, is trust. And they've been digging into that for years now, destroying our trust in our government and in ourselves. Because in when it comes right down to it, we are the government. It spells it out, writes clearly in the Constitution in huge letters. We the people. We're the ones who are ultimately responsible. And they want to destroy the entire idea of self-rule. Well, we're the only ones who are smart enough to make these decisions because we've got all the money and we've got all the power, and simply because we've got it means that we've earned it and that we know what to do with it when we have it. And that's a bunch of bull, ladies and gentlemen. It's all bull. And we're falling into the sinkhole right now. The cracks are starting to show. We haven't completely fallen yet, but the cracks are there. And it's going to take a lot of work to rebuild that foundation, because that foundation of trust is very delicate. It's sturdy and strong once it's put together, but it requires constant maintenance, and it's very delicate. And when people lose the trust of their government, when they lose their trust in their ability to govern themselves, then bad things happen. And we're already seeing it with the imperial presidency. It didn't start with Nixon. I'm sure there were others who were like that, but it's gotten progressively worse since then. In the last four Republican presidents have been just one disaster after another. Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, all right, Gerald Ford, five. We've had a lot of the damn, too many. It just goes to show how low we've fallen. Of course, Gerald Ford was never actually elected, so that's another story. Out of all five of those, Ford was probably the best, and that's you know, if that's the best they can offer the last five presidents they've had, that's not saying a whole lot for the Democratic Party, is it? Or for the Republican Party, is it? Not saying much for the Democrats that we fight. You know, I was thinking about a Saturday Night Live sketch when they were doing the debates, and it was Michael Dukakis versus George Bush, the first George Bush. And they were saying, you know, Mr. Bush, you have your comment, and he was just like, stay the course, 1,000 points of light. Not saying anything, you know. And then finally they go to Mr. Dukakis, and Mr. Dukakis rebuttal, he says, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. And that's basically what it is. We look at it. How can we be losing to these people? But there's a never-ending barrage of suckers for the right wing and for the Republican Party. All they have to do is scare them with somebody. That's all. It's communists. Oh, terrorists. Oh, they're going to get you. They're going to vote for me. Give me the power. That's the money. You got any money in your pocket? Give it to me. Hand it off. They're going to save them. And the banana's going to get you. And people say, oh, no, I'll give you the money. Oh, no. No. And that's the problem. Hey, we're coming to the end of the show. Let me say my goodbyes. It's been real nice. Michelle, thanks for calling in. And more people should call in. More people call in. You call me now. Cover Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network. Our good friend Bob Kincaid, running the board out there in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news away from the propaganda of the so-called professional media. America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on all of your head-on radio network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show and saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
Dave, open a jar of Joan. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Every trick to the carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cap of Joe.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
And we're going to go crazy on you. We're going to go crazy.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.